to 4. Amen? Now that's 17 verses in chapter 3, 5 verses in chapter 4, 22 verses. That's more Bible than some of you have read all week. Amen? God help us, but that's true. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, the Word of God says, when we get done reading, by the way, hold your Bibles open, we'll be preaching from these chapters of the Word of God. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Notice this sly, cunning, almost a serpent-like subtleness that he says here, that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to save, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Now I want to preach, if the Lord God will help me, concerning specifically this phrase used in chapter 3 and at verse number 1. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, on this thought. In the last days. In the last days. In the last days. Now the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy about the last days and times. And please stay with me this morning. It's going to take at least as long as a normal message, and maybe longer if I don't preach in a hurry and you don't listen in a hurry. We'll never get done with this thing today. So I'll have to preach fast and you'll have to listen fast, because I've got a lot I want to tell you about. I'm worthy that Robert Sheffy was in that biography of him, where it says, where he told that woman, says, I just don't know if I can stand up in front of folks and talk to them. She said, maybe you've just never had anything you really wanted to tell them before. And that's kind of where I am this morning. I just got something I really want to tell you about. And so pay close attention as we study through the blessed Word of God. In the last days, Paul writes to Timothy about the last days and times. And he warns him and warns us about the things that will come to pass. Furthermore, Brother John, he tells us how we are to react to these things that takes place. Now this term last days or latter times has several meanings in the Scripture. In Joel, the term is used to refer and make reference to the days of the church, the dispensation of grace. We know that's true because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, as he was preaching, we are not drunkards as you suppose, but this is none other than that which was promised by the prophet Joel. Amen. And he said that the rain would come, and the latter rain would come in the last days. And so the last days and
Joel referred to the days of the church age, the days of the dispensation of grace. And now listen, friend, we are not the first days. Those belong to Adam and Eve. We are not the Old Testament days. Those belong to Abraham and to Isaac. Amen. The days of the law, the days under the dispensation of the Mosaic law. But we are the New Testament church. And we are to refer from the teachings of Joel that this New Testament church is the last dispensation of mercy to a generation of sinners. Amen. The church age is the last days. Amen, friend. In other words, friend, you'll either get right with God while God's knocking on your heart in these days, or your opportunities will run out. Amen. These are the last days. There's not yet a better covenant that'll come above that of grace. The Old Testament believers look for a better covenant, but we do not look for a better covenant. We've got the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is the last dispensation for the church, thank God. Yes, we will be raptured out. Yes, there will be a period beyond this. But those will not be days for the church. We will not be in that last day. Amen, that's right. These are the last days for the church. The tribulations for the lost. The tribulations for the sinners. The tribulation for those that deny God. The church age is the last day for us. Amen. And this old Joel refers to the last days as the church age. Amen. And to many times, sometimes it refers to the last days as the days before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Amen. Which took place around 100 years or so after it was that the Lord ascended and went back to heaven. But in this case, in this scripture, friend, my friend, it refers rather to the last days as we near the return of Christ and the rapture of the church. It's not ours to know the times nor the seasons of His return, but He has given us signs. Furthermore, He's given us a description of what these days will be like. And I want to say, friend, that the last days that appear to be these days from the description He gives to me. We could also say not only are we a preaching on in the last days, but we're a preaching on in days like these. Amen. For I believe we're living in the last days. I don't know how many days, years, months, weeks, hours it may be before the Lord takes His children home. But I believe, Brother Tony, we are living in the last days. We are nearing the coming of Christ. Oh, thank God. But don't let that discourage you. I look up and lift up your head. Your redemption's on now. Woo! We're taking out of here. And it might be a day. Woo! In the last days, or in days like these. I want to ask and answer three questions today from this passage of Scripture. I've got to have it and preach fast enough to get to it all. In the last days, three questions asked and answered. First of all, what can we expect in the last days? Secondly, I want to ask, what should we do in the last days? I don't want to finish this morning by asking, when will be the end of the last days? What shall we expect? What shall we do? And when will be the end? Amen. And if the Lord will hit me, I want to preach on just that. And now, what can we expect in the last days? I don't know, seven things I need to get through here. And then we'll move on to something else. But I want to tell you what to expect. And now, if you're expecting me to tell you that there's going to be a mass revival and everybody's going to be getting saved, everybody's going to be falling in love with God, I'll get TBN bunches of preaching to you. You're expecting badly wrong. In these last days, it will not be like that. Amen, that's right. It will be rather a time of chaos. Amen. A time of chaos. Verse number 1 said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. It'll be dangerous times. It'll be chaotic times. Amen. We're living in a time right now My friend, where it's dangerous everywhere you go. Somebody said you used to be scared. I walk down the streets of Atlanta at night. I'll tell you, it ain't safe to walk down the streets of Raymond at night. In the day we're living in, it is a day of chaos. Amen. Some of the most dangerous places in our world today, my friend, are not in Baghdad and Moscow. Amen. My friend, some of those dangerous places in our day are the school halls. My friend, where our young'uns are on a daily basis. It's a perilous time. It's a chaotic day. Amen. That's right. We're living in a day of chaos. Living in a day, my friend, of disorder. We've got disorder in the home. We've got disorder in the church. We've got disorder in the tenement. We've got disorder in society. And the very foundational building blocks that are not in a nation's built on are coming beneath us. But may I assure you, nevertheless, the foundation of God has stand as sure in these days of chaos. He's all we can count on. Amen. What can we expect in these last days? God, help me preach. I've slaughtered so much dust and cut and grass yesterday, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. But I'm wanting to preach this morning, and so you pray. In these last days, what can we expect? I'll say we can expect a time of chaos. Perilous times shall come. We can expect a day when the commandments of God have gone unheeded. Amen. We can expect a day, a time when the commandments of God are unheeded. Verses 2 through 4 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, or covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Amen. And he says, first of all, they'll be lovers of their own selves. I'll tell you, man, selfish. Selfishness, amen. A selfishness is kept in the home. Mamas and daddies going their own way while their children are scattered in disarray across this country. Amen. Selfishness kept in the church. Everybody wants their own way and they don't care about the good of the church. I tell you, we can expect a time when the commandments of God are gone unheeded. To love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbors yourself. Prefer your brother above yourself. But we're living in a time when men are selfish. Lovers of themselves, amen. They're covetous, amen. It says they're covetous. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I'll tell you to look at another's possessions and lust after their possessions is sin and against God. Amen. We're living in a world where other people seem to think that they have a right to whatever you gain in this life, but that is in opposition to the blessed Word of God. Amen. We've seen it. Hey, one of the biggest applause lines that we heard at that blessed sound of a conviction, of a political conviction this past week. My friend, was it was when it was that Mr. Kerry said, I'll raise taxes on them. That's making more money than what you are. And I must say, how in the world does it help your life for somebody else to get it stuck to them? We're living in a day where folks are happy. And they see Brother Andy. And if he's miserable, and if he's afflicted, and if he's in trouble, they're happy for some cause. I'll tell you, friend, I'll tell you what it is. They're covetous, amen. If they don't have something, they don't want nobody to have something. Some of you in this building have been guilty when somebody drives up in a new car. Saying, I wish I had their money. I wish I was driving that car and there's a riding a bicycle. You're wicked as hell. What's wrong with you? You ought to get your attitude right. Prefer your brother above yourself. And you'd be glad when God blesses him. Amen. Belly aching every time God does something good for somebody else. You ought to be happy for God to bless somebody else. Amen. I wish Brother Charles had a house 5 times the size of mine. Amen. And was making 10 times as much money as me. And at least tithing and maybe giving 15 or 20% of it to the house of God. Amen. I'm not guilty or covetous of what somebody else has got. I'm glad when God blesses you. I'm proud when God helps you. I tell you, son. Amen. In the last days, God help us preach. In the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, amen. He said, be proud and boasters, amen. And they lifted themselves up in pride and proclaimed their greatness and proclaimed how wonderful they are and to my friend how they can make it home. But let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Amen. He said, my friend, there'd be blasphemers. Amen. Blasphemers, that's right. Many think, my friend, absolutely nothing about mocking God and the things of God and the truths of God. I'm a preacher about a time when the commandments of God are unheeded. Amen. I mean, they blaspheme the Lord. They blaspheme the church. They mock the preacher. They mock God. They have no respect for sacred things. They made a mocker of the church. Coming in high as naked, my friend. But the earrings flopped into me and tears will run up the side of them. And knocking the hair down the back like their mama. And then they want to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And make a mockery of the things of God. Amen. 5, 6 times may want to stand in the pulpit and preach while they run around there with Lucy in town and make a mockery of the things of God and remind us that God forgives sin. He forgives sin for those who repent of their sin. Your sin, expect God to forgive you of it. You'll have to repent of your sin. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. They blasphemed. They made amen with it. They made a mockery of the things of God. Amen. Oh, God help us. They called their little crowd down here and they said, everybody stand up, come on down to the altar. We're going to lead you in a prayer. They called them to repeat after me. And they said, I saw a man this week. And every one of that crowd, they're saved. And I believe one or two of them got right with God. But he told all of them they're saved. And he ain't got the right to tell none of them they're saved. Salvation's God's gift. And he gives it to whom he cares to. And when he cares to give it. Ain't some preachers to give. Blaspheming the things of God, what they're doing. Making a mockery of the truth, turn the truth of our God into lasciviousness and idolatry, and the same are under the punishment of the God of God and waiting upon the judgment hand of God to come on their lives. Amen. That's right. Blasphemers. You're still with me this morning. It's going to get worse. You hang around. Now, all I'm going to do is tell you what's going on in this day and age. If you don't like it, it's an indictment of our generation. Amen. Oh, that's right. Amen. He said there'd be blasphemers. He said that they'd be disobedient unto parents. Amen. We have never seen a time with more rebellious children than the time we're living in today. I believe that. And the reason we haven't is we've never seen a time where there's been so little discipline in the households of what we're seeing today. Amen. That's right. Proverbs 22 and 15 said, foolishness is bound the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive him far from him. Amen. That's right. Put your young ones in time out and set a dunce hat on their head if you want to. But you ought to get the rod of correction and the blessed word of God and pray for your children and beat the devil out of them. Amen. And leave them to things of God. And I know you love them. And whom a father loves, he chastens. I rebuke sometimes. Your kids according to your pleasure, but whip them according to God's book. Sometimes you whip them because you're mad at them. And sometimes you're mad at them because somebody else has done something that made you mad. And it ain't even your kids' fault. And when you do so, you sinned instead of them. And you're the one that ought to be getting a whooping. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. I mean, even when you think what they did funny, you ought to whip them anyhow if it deserves a whooping. If it appears funny to you and he says they're never whooping you, I'll still whoop them. Oh, yes, that's right. Instead of laughing at them, laugh at them today, and then next week when they do it, beat the devil out of them. What kind of lessons are you trying to create in their mind? Amen. That's right. No wonder they're rebellious and disobedient. I want to tell you something else. They've learned their rebellion from mamas and daddies. Amen. Mama's not in submission to daddy. Daddy's not in submission to God. Both of them, my friend, come home and talk about how sorry their boss man is and how they hate their employer. And they show their rebellion to authority. And their children learn rebellion from mom and dad. Amen. Mom and dad curse the preacher and talk about him, say, he can't tell me what to do. I'll show him. And your children say the same thing about you. And you want to whoop up. Amen. God help you. No, get saved first. And get in line with yourself first. So your children will get rid of our rebellion. Oh, right. Hallelujah. Disobedient to parents, disobedient to parents. He then went on to say that they were unfaithful and unholy. Amen. I want to say, friend, never has there been a time when we've had more possessions and more stuff and more junk than what we got in America today. But never has there been a day and a time where we've been more unfaithful and more unholy. And I'll tell you, whenever you quit recognizing God and quit being thankful for where your blessings come, you will see to be holy, and you'll cease to serve God, and their lack of gratitude has come to a lack of righteousness. Amen. Unthankful and unholy. God, help me preach. Unthankful and unholy. Without natural affection. Amen. The natural order of one man and one woman making a home, my friend. It's come under attack. And it ain't just the homosexuals that's attacked it. It's the lawyers and divorce courts. And my friend, the gin and egg preachers that will not preach on the home. I'll tell you, God's plan for the home is one man and one wife for one life. Amen. I mean a man and a woman for life. Not one at a time, one for a lifetime. Hey! And we've yoked up with everything else and accepted everything else, and our children are suffering and our homes are in chaos and we're in trouble. Time when the commandments of God have gone unheeded. What are we to expect in these last days? A time when the commandments of God would go unheeded. He said there'd be truth breakers. Does a man's word really mean anything anymore? Whatever happened to a handshake deal? Huh? Do you really believe somebody when they tell you the check's in the mail? Or you just laugh at them? Amen. Truth breakers, amen. There'd be false accusers. Many would quickly bear tales of innocent folk attacking their character without cause. Amen. Many a man of God's been torn down. By tales has been by false accusers. Now, I get enough trouble for what I do, much less what I don't do. So if you're going to tell something on me, at least get it right. Amen. And I'm sure you there'll be somebody mad enough about what I did, much less what I didn't even do. Amen. So at least get it right. But we're living a day of false accusers. He said they'd be incontinent. And many have sinned, you see, so greatly and so often that they find themselves with no personal restraint. All temperance is gone. All self-control is gone. They can't even console themselves. Some no doubt have been possessed by devils because of the wickedness of their hostiles. Said they'd be fierce. It's a word we don't use much no more. I use it, but I use a lot of words we don't use much no more. You've heard them old timers say, man, I'm hungry. Something fierce. He beat that old mule up something fierce. That was the words them old timers used, something fierce. Fierce means, it means wild. Easy. Wide-eyed. Out of the norm. Excessive. You know what I'm saying today? God said the men in the last days would be fierce men. They'd be wild. They'd be excessive. They'd be over the edge. Boy, if you don't tell me, listen, hey, we're living in that day. I mean, we are living in that day. Yeah, I mean, somebody ain't fierce and wild and maybe devil-possessed when they poke holes all over their body and brand themselves and tattoo their face and declare to be some sort of work of art. I'll tell you, that's wild and fierce and excessive. Amen. Oh, yes, it's right. And it's out of control.
Living in a day where people do crazy things to get a rush of adrenaline. Used to be our forefathers were scared they'd fall off a mule. We got people jumping off of bridges with a rubber band tied to their feet. Believe they ain't fierce and wild and excessive and out of control and exceeding the norm. I mean, we got some nuts in our day and time. Oh, that's right, that's right. Used to be a work of art was to sit down and paint something on a piece of paper. And now they cover their bodies in chocolate or mayonnaise and sell pictures door to door. I mean, we're living in a time of wildness and excess and of fierceness. Amen. I mean, people are crazy. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. I mean, people are nuts, friend. I'm telling you, that's right, Dennis Rodman. But to the rest of them homosexuals and my friend, all the rest of that perverse crowd, amen, that's right, wild and excessive and out of control and beyond the norm. They are fierce.
In this century, we have seen fierceness from ruthless leaders like has never been seen in the history of all mankind. Holocaust. Amen. Pushing the people in Cuba for Castro's own personal and political gain. Torture rooms, rape rooms, where they cut off heads and ears and fingers and toes of people in Iraq, while some still claim that the world had been better off with that dummy still around. Amen. And if they can't get you to cooperate, they'll take and kill your family while you watch. Fierce! Fierce men! I believe it was Estes Perkle that said that they were fierce and they had no scruples. That word scruples means any personal restraint or any conviction about it or any morals about themselves. In other words, they're so fierce that they do what they do and it does not even bother them to have done what they've done. Amen. I mean, friend, we're living a day of the Jeffrey Dahmers and the serial murderers of our day that have not only killed their victims, but buried them in their house and devoured their flesh and laid down with their dead bodies in the bed with them at night and can sleep without their conscience ever even bothering them. You tell me that ain't fierce?
I'll tell you what's as fierce. We're living in a generation where the average American woman thinks no more of killing her unborn baby than what she does changing her shoes. Is that not fierce? An innocent baby that's never done anything to anybody, never even had a chance to draw a breath of life, and a mama slaughter it without any problems. That's bad. Fierce. You know what's fierce? When a daddy had rather smoke his cigarettes and drank his booze and lay up and watch TV all day then get a job while he watched his young'uns run around without shoes on their feet, amen, clothes on their back, and then not even worry about them. And when he does get a check somewhere or another that mama brings into him or some woman he's shacking up with brings into him, he goes and spends it all up on liquor too. Is that not fierce? While our children starve to death, we're living in a day where men are fierce. You know what else is fierce? I'm going to get on this. And bless God, some of you will patent out and do without. But I'm going to preach on it anyhow. A mama that will leave her children with strangers all day. And my friend, they're small children with strangers, my friend, that she don't know anything about. That the government's paying for, my friend. All she sees is like their dollar and the career path. And my
friend to glorify herself and her accomplishments and her children. My friends spend more time with a nursery worker than they do their family. That is fair. We're living in a day where people have no scruples. They have absolutely no conscience concerning one another. I mean, when a man can take another man's hand, look him in the eye and smile at him, pat him on the back, while he's running around with that man's wife, we're living in a day where people are fierce. Preachers, they can mess around in every kind of sin you've ever known. I'm going to get on the pulpit and preach in what they claim to be the power of God. It is a day where men are fierce. They're wild men. Around handling their snakes in the pulpit and mess around, my friend, tempting God and acting idiot half the time. They're drunk and they're carrying on and claiming to worship God. They're wild, they're fierce, they're out of control, and it's what we can come to express in these last days. Am I not preaching right? I know it's tough, but it's right. Amen, that's right. And my friend, fierce. He said they'd be despisers of those that are good. They hate all righteousness. They condemn all those who are good. Oh, God, help us. They're traitors, amen. We've seen in the past year or two the amazing scenes of Americans embracing the religion and position of those who destroy America. They fly planes in our building, cut off the heads of our soldiers, my friend. And then we embrace our religion and it teaches them to do so. God help us. It's a traitorous people that does so.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Lord knows if I've ever preached, I'm a preaching right now. God's a preaching me. He's a preaching man. I don't know much about much, but I know when I'm being preached, and I'm being preached this morning. Traitors! Said they'd be heady and high-minded, so headstrong, friend, that they're full of themselves. They see their intellect and ability and knowledge and all so much greater than everybody else's. No matter where they are, they're always the smartest person in the room to hear them tell it. I tell you, that's the day we're living in. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Approval from the community. We've come to love the pleasures and self-gratification, my friend, rather than loving the Lord. Oh, God, help us. This is the very reason why the lakes are crowded on the Lord's day and the Lord's house is empty. And my friend, if it ain't enough to do that, we'll accommodate this crowd and we'll give them a little money along the way so they go buy another recreational vehicle. Amen. And my friend, another temper to stay in the house of God with. And then if that ain't enough, we'll schedule, my friend, casual services for them early in the morning so as to stay out of the way of their recreational path. This allows them to come to church in their golf gear and beach attire and worldly clothes and the meetings held early to avoid any conflict with the church service, a conflict with their golf game. And they leave the church and head to the beach and hit, my friend, the golf course. Amen, thank God. And when they leave that apostate church, their consciences are soon, but their souls are on this way to hell. That ain't good enough for them. We'll schedule the recreational activities for them. You know, we'd hate to lose that worldly crowd. And so they might leave and go to another church with a better program. So we create ball teams and have a plethora of chicken suppers and ice cream dinners. And the folks are dead as a chicken and cold as ice cream. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. We take the senior citizens on a shopping spree 3 times a month. We call in the world of musicians and so-called ministers who embrace and embody the very rebellion that we ought to be a denouncing friend and have them preach our meetings. And we say they're going to bring in the young people. And all they're doing is making our young people and our older people and our middle-aged people and all the people rebel against the truth. We have the audacity to wonder why we can't have the power of God that they had in the old days. We won't ever have it in the last days while we're playing with that mess. Lovers of, everybody still with me? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Man. Played your stinking little games and come down to church with your bingo and all that stinking mess. Hey, this ain't a gaming center, friend. This is not a honky-tonk. This is, my friend, not a casino, thank God. Or a nightclub. Or a social center, thank God. It's not the Masons. Or the Mooses or the Gooses or the Elves. Thank God, my friend. This is a church. And it's a house of worship. And the house of prayer. And nothing else. Amen. Well, I'm still on the first point. But I'm preaching it right. I'll finish it tonight if I have to, thank God. What can we expect in these last days? A time of chaos. A time when the commandments of God are unheeded. It's a time when conviction is not present. Amen? Conviction is not present. Verse 5 said, having a formula of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A conviction is not present. You don't have conviction from a form. You have a conviction from a power. Conviction must come from the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, when God arrests your heart and lets you know you're a sinner and reminds you your need to repent and come to Him, conviction, friend. And the reason there's little conviction on the lost is because there's little conviction on the saved. Folks ain't got no conviction, and they ain't got no convictions. Amen. They're not convicted about the way they lived, and they don't live by the convictions that they're convicted by. Therefore, the lost people ain't convicted to become saved because they're already just as good as what the saved people are now.
You're right.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You still with me now? If you're mad, let me know. I'll come hug your neck. I love you. I ain't trying to make you mad, but I'm preaching right. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Brother Fred said, if you're scared, come get in my pocket because I'm fixing to say something else. Amen. Yeah. We're living in a time where there's no conviction. Yeah. And because there's no conviction, yeah, there's no conversion. Very few people are getting saved in the day we're in. Oh, I know they're running through the baptistry so fast they run the water slam out of it. That's dripping off people's clothes, what little they have on when they go in there. I know that. But I also know they're leading them down the Roman road, having to repeat a little prayer. They ain't convicted and they ain't converted. And they're baptizing before they leave the church because they know they ain't coming back. And they'll have 500 saved. And the church won't grow by 3 people because they're not being saved. In somebody's little car, baptize them in a pool, telling them they're all right. By friend, being saved is more than a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Amen. It's more than a change of direction. It's a change of service. Amen. It's more, my friend, than a change of religion. It's a change of lifestyle. Hallelujah! Being saved is a work of the Holy God in the innermost part of man that man cannot do for himself. And if you can't save yourself, you sure can't save nobody else. When I go preach revival, come back and they'd say, how many did you save this week? My answer is always the same. I can't save nobody. They'll say, well, you know what I mean. I said, I might know what you mean, but that ain't what you're saying. Thank God I can't save nobody. You can't either. God's the only one who can do saving. Time of no conversion. Conversion, a conviction is not present. Conversion is unexperienced. It's a time of combination of sinners with saints. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying a time of no separation. A time of combination of sinners with the saints. You see, he speaks of the religious crowd that loves pleasure more than God. He didn't say they love pleasure instead of God. That's the lost condemned world. He said they love pleasure more than God. Amen. They claim to love God. They claim to be saved. They claim to serve God. But they love pleasure more than God. Religious that have a form of godliness. Amen. They go to church and put on the right clothes, and even in our so-called old-fashioned churches, they look good and they smell good and they act good and they know all the right things to do, and in their heart they're just as empty as they can be. A touch of the power of God's what we need. Yeah, preaching, singing, testifying, reading the Bible, all that's good. But it won't mean anything without God anoints it. form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Friends, saints, turn away. It's a time of combination of sinners and saints. Oh, God, help us. It's a societal and a social religion, an acceptable form of religion in a generation that cannot endure sound doctrine. And we made it acceptable to society that the truth will not be accepted in these last days. Amen. What can we expect? We can expect to be a time of chaos, time of commandments of God are unheeded, time of the conversion is unexperienced, time of conviction is not present, time of confusion abounds. Amen. A time when confusion abounds. He said there'd be people that is creep into houses and lead captive sinning women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. He said in verse number 8, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so also do you resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians of Pharaoh. And when Moses tried to perform miracles, they would perform the same miracles to some less extent. And the people would be confused and not know who to serve.
You hear what I'm preaching? We're living on a day where Satan will put a man behind the pulpit, even with a King James Bible in his hand, to tell you a half-truth to get you to believe the whole lie. And he'll stomp and sweat and snort, hack around a little bit to make you think he's one of God's men. And he's so good at putting on his imitation with the enabling spirit he gets from the devil, you can hardly tell the difference. Confusion abounds. I'm preaching, Brother John. Am I preaching right? Confusion abounds. And he'll take just enough scripture in there to mess it up and teach you things that are on, that are totally against the Word of God, and make you believe all the time that you're believing the Bible.
Right.
Ain't that right? I mean, that's right, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I mean, they'll tell you you've got to be baptized in their baptistry, and they'll try to make such a good case of it, but they leave out the story of the thief on the cross. They leave out the fact that the Philippian jailer was saved, and then he was baptized. So baptism was my friend to work. That my friend, he followed in fire after Christ. My friend, after he was saved. Friend, they'll lead you to believe a lot of things. Church membership, easy believism, funny Bibles that ain't funny, get you to yoke up women preachers and everything else. The time of confusion abounds. They'll get you to believing that it's all right to speak in a language in the church that nobody understands. Amen. They'll even make you think that that's good, that it's somehow or another commendable when nobody even knows what they're saying or doing. And the Apostle Paul said, when a stranger comes in, they're going to know that you've all gone mad. Is that not what the Word of God said? Amen. It's a time of confusion. I want to say it's a time of no contrition. A time of no contrition. Verse number 13. I said, my friend, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, he said, rather than repenting, they'll get worse. Amen. You see, my friend, Psalm 151:17 said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 34:18 said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But our friend, we're living in a day when they have no contrition, and rather than repenting, they just get worse. Expect in the last days. Well, I'm going to close out with this real quick. Stay with me right here. I've told you what we can expect. I want to ask you, what should we do? What are we going to do? Pretty bleak picture. Everything's in a mess, ain't it? And it is. And it will be. What are we going to do? Brother Jimmy Allison preached it last Sunday night. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we going to do? It's a mess. What are we going to do, preacher? What are we going to do? Well, the Apostle Paul didn't leave us off in that either. In verse number 14 through 17 in chapter 3, he said, faithfully continue. Amen. He said, but continue thou. Regardless of what everybody else may do, evil men may wax worse and worse. Some may be cunning spirits and preach doctrines of devils. But as that's for you, Timothy, you're not to be like them. You're not to follow them. You're not to go along with them. You're not to travel with them and fellowship with them and yoke up with them. But as for you, Timothy, continue, Abraham.
Woo! The whole world may die and go to hell with a punchy. The whole church may, my friend, rebel against God, my friend, and cast out on the Lord and follow this loosey-goosey crowd. But God said, continue thou. As for you, faithfully continue. I stay in the faith. Stay true to the faith. Go all the way with God. Hallelujah. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and being assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He's not abasing, my friend, his belief on feelings, but he's abasing his feelings on a fact. Amen. And feelings based on a fact will produce a feeling that cannot be overcome, my friend, by feelings that are not based on a fact. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm not saved by feelings, but I got some feelings because of the fact that I am saved, thank God. Base your life, my friend, in the facts of the Scriptures, which are able to make me wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. May be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. I'm telling you, my friend, he said, faithfully continue in the Spirit, in the Scriptures with the saints. Faithfully continue. Forsake counterfeits, Timothy. Verse number 5, he said, having the form of God, is denied the power thereof. From such, turn away. The counterfeits, the falsifiers. My friend, the showman of the day. That Hollywood crowd that says they're saved but ain't got no God. Don't run with that crowd. Turn away from them. Forsake the counterfeits. What churches you go into? You hear what I'm preaching? All these life centers. So-and-so's temple. Apostle so-and-so. The presiding illustrious potentate. Well, you better stay out of that bunch. Amen. That's right. Apostles are those that saw the Lord. Ain't none of us left like that, is there? Apostle so-and-so, he's a false prophet, is what he is. Prophet so-and-so, he's going to tell you all your problems. Get out his bottle of oil out of his boot. And to my friend, start pouring it all over your head. Slapping you around, begging people to come to the altar for an anointing service. You better watch out for that crowd. Some of them sincere. Some of them deceivers. Up here on TBN, smack them in the head, make them fall down. Some of them don't want to fall down, giggle in life, and they'll put them down anyway and have them catch them. Shows you how real it is. Somebody said, I felt a surge of electricity running through my body. Might have been them demons coming out at him. Hey, man, stand up here and tell you how wonderful he is. Send him $50 of your best love offering, $100 of your best love offering, and he'll pray for you and you'll be healed. I want to tell you something. If he really had the gift of healing and really had the power of God in his life, you wouldn't have to pay him to get something from God. That's what he is. Amen. Some of these days are liable to wind up with leprosy. That's what happened last time I read the Word of God. I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 5, where it was that the man of God or the man of God's servant took money for doing the world. I'll say leprosy is a type of sin. I'll say every one of them struck with it. Selling their stinking handkerchiefs to people for $100, saying that they've been anointed and all this mess. They're going, hey, that ain't nowhere in the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God. The only place we see it in the Bible is where it was that that man that the Apostle Peter, I believe, preached to was the one, the master of God and the gift of God, so he might sell it. Because he's a soothsayer and an astrologist and a palm reader and a wizard. And the Apostle Peter rebuked him sharply. This crowd, don't yoke up with everything. Forsake the counterfeits. Amen. Them old boys that puts on the show for you every Sunday. Forsake the counterfeits. They'll destroy your life and destroy your family. Forsake the con men. Amen. Verse number 6 and 7 said they slept in them houses. They led captive city women. Notice, ladies, I ain't picking on you, but the Bible said it. But you'll notice that the women's the first ones that deceive. You know why? Because they'll make you feel so good. I mean, they'll tell you that your husband ain't doing you right. And if he loves you, he'll do so and so. But we love you. And we'll be like a new family to you. And oh, we'll do all this. And all the while, they're leading you captive into their false doctrine. Some silver tongued preachers always wanting to counsel by himself with some woman. Amen. They are devils is what they are. And you'll find them somewhere or another in a motel with them before it's all said and done. Amen. That's right. You better stay away from that crowd. Forsake those con men, slick silver-tongued devils, for the truth and for the God. What should we do in the last days? Faithfully continue. Forsake the counterfeits. Forsake the con men. And follow the charge. Amen. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4. Can't read it all. But the charge was before God. Preach the word. Be sent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. Keep their own us teachers having itching ears. Have my friend turn their ears to the truth and the tables. And watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Make fire proof of the ministry. And follow the charge. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Make full proof of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. I ain't just preaching preachers, I'm preaching everybody. Evangelize your community, your family. A church that ceases to evangelize will fossilize. Amen? Did you hear what I said? A preacher that ceases to evangelize will fossilize. You know what it is to fossilize, don't you? Die and rot and leave your, my friend, a trace behind in the stones of this world. I'm telling you, my friend, that's all that'll be left is just a trace of us if we do not evangelize the lost. Make full proof of a ministry and do the work of an evangelist. And I'm done with this. You can come with a song. Then we expect. What should we do? And finally, when will it end? That's the question men's been asking ever since Jesus went away. The apostles asked Jesus on the mountain of Ascension, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They wanted to know if Jesus was coming back. He ain't even went away yet. When's it going to end? Jehovah's Witness has predicted it about six times, missed it every time. When's all this chaos, this confusion, this time when conviction and conversion is unexperienced and the commandments of God are spat on, when is that going to end? If we faithfully continue to the end, when will the end be? If we follow the charge to the last day, when will be the last day of these last days? When will it be? It's a question worth asking, isn't it? But I'm going to give you the honest answer. I don't know. I'll tell you something else. You don't know. I'm going to go even farther. The angels of heaven don't know. Right. Jesus Himself does not know. Right. The Father only. According to Matthew 24 and 36. I don't even know Jesus said. The Father only. There's only thing in the Bible I find that the Father knows, the Son doesn't know. When He's coming back. I do not know when the end will be, Pavetti. But I do know this. Verse number 6. For I am ready now to be offered. Yes. Woo! I do not know when the end will be, but if it's now, I am ready now to be offered. Woo! And furthermore, the time of my departure is at hand. These are the last days, and it may not be today, but it is at hand. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. When will it end? Very soon. I don't know when, but I know I'm ready now to be offered. I know I fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. You see, in these last days, we're needing help. In times like these, we need a God like Him. Amen. In times like these, we need a Savior. You see, if we'd needed money, He'd have sent us an economist. Amen. If we'd have needed government, He'd have sent us a statesman. If we'd have needed education, He'd have sent us a teacher. If He and my friend needed religion, He would have sent to us a minister. But we needed forgiveness, so God sent to us a Savior. Hallelujah. Having the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of law, redeemed them that were under the law. Thank God, my friend. I tell you, when Jesus came the first time, in the fullness of time, right on time, and just as sure as He came on time, lived on time, died on time, got up on time, went away on time, when will He and He's coming again in the fullness of time. Woo! Lord God, the glory's real. Hallelujah. I'm done preaching. Would you stand? God will again send forth His into this world the Savior that will rescue home His children. Titus 2:11 said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." I wonder, are you ready for the day to come? Let's sing. You need to come. You need to come do business with God. Well, in times like these, we need a God like Him. What are we going to do? Faithfully continue. Forsake the counterfeits. Forsake the con men. Follow the charge. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Not just asking you, are you saved? I'm asking you, are you ready?